I want you to imagine waking up on the morning of July 10th, 2026. You stumble into the kitchen, you grab your coffee, sit down to catch up on the news, and you suddenly realize that the entire landscape of global technology is just, well, it's shifting fundamentally beneath your feet.
Yeah, it really is one of those rare mornings. I mean, you aren't just looking at incremental updates or, you know, minor software patches. Mm-hmm. We are looking at a complete rewrite of how the world operates. We've got this flood of announcements detailing how we are literally wrapping the Earth in a physical mesh of satellites to transmit data at light speed.
Which is wild on its own.
It is. But the real story is what happens when that infinite data stream meets artificial intelligence that can run entire companies autonomously, and the terrifying security arms race that triggers.
Exactly. And that is the mission for our deep dive today. We are pulling from the Tech in Morning newsletter to examine a single day of just, well, monumental announcements across aerospace and AI.
Yeah, it's a lot to cover.
It is, but we really want you to understand how these developments are automating and scaling everything, from the sky above us to the actual software running our businesses.
Okay.
Let's unpack this. Where exactly are we starting with this physical mesh you mentioned?
Well, we have to start with the skies. I mean, before we can even begin to comprehend the massive new digital tools rolling out, we need to understand the physical plumbing that's going to connect them globally.
Right, the infrastructure.
Exactly. Yesterday, SpaceX submitted an FCC application that completely redefines orbital infrastructure.
I was reading through this filing, and the scale is honestly hard to wrap your head around. They're proposing a constellation of 100,000 next-generation, or V3, Starlink satellites.
Which is just a staggering number.
It really is. And to put that into perspective for you, the V2 mini satellites that most people are familiar with, they weigh about 1,250 pounds.
Right.
These new V3s, they weigh 4,400 pounds. That is roughly the weight of a Ford F-150. They want to put 100,000 F-150s into low Earth orbit.
Yeah, the physical logistics of manufacturing and launching 100,000 two-ton objects, it represents an industrial scaling that human history has simply never seen.
No, definitely not.
And that extra weight isn't just dead mass. It translates directly to more power arrays and highly advanced antennas. That is exactly how they are achieving these new specs.
Which are insane, by the way.
Right. I mean, download speeds of 500 to 1,000 megabits per second, latency of less than 10 milliseconds, and an operational lifespan of 7 to 10 years per satellite.
I really want to dig into that latency number, because sub 10 milliseconds from space sounds like, I don't know, science fiction.
It does.
How are they physically doing that?
Well, it all comes down to laser crosslinks. In traditional satellite internet, a satellite acts like a simple mirror, right?
Okay, yeah.
It receives a signal from your house, and it bounces it down to a physical ground station nearby. If there's no ground station, you basically get no internet.
Right, you're just out of luck.
Exactly. But these V3 satellites use advanced lasers to talk directly to each other in the vacuum of space, where light actually travels faster than it does through fiber optic cables here on Earth.
Oh, wow. So it's a completely different mechanism.
It is. They form this dynamic, constantly shifting mesh network overhead. Your data doesn't have to bounce down to a local station anymore.
It just stays up there.
Yeah, it can shoot across the globe from satellite to satellite before finally dropping down to its exact destination.
So it's literally upgrading from, like, scattered geographically limited cell towers to wrapping the planet in a high-speed electronic blanket.
That's a great way to picture it, yeah.
But let's pause here for a second. Because a global network that fast, with the price tag dropping to $120 a month, that sounds great for the consumer.
Oh, absolutely.
But filling the sky with 100,000 massive reflective metal objects, I mean, is the bandwidth actually worth the environmental cost of that much space debris and light pollution?
This raises an important question, and it is honestly the core tension of this entire rollout. You essentially have two highly polarized viewpoints here.
Okay, what's the first one?
On one side, you have Mike Gold. He's SpaceX's chief technology officer. His argument is rooted entirely in global equity.
Getting everyone online.
Right. He champions this mega constellation as the ultimate and perhaps only solution for remote and polar regions.
Because you can't just run wires out there.
Exactly. Places where laying fiber optic cable across mountains or under ice is geographically and economically impossible.
Right. He's arguing that access to the modern global economy requires this infrastructure. And, you know, they're doing what they can to mitigate the brightness with anti-reflective coatings.
Yeah, they are trying.
But on the other side, you have groups like the American Astronomical Society sending letters of absolute protest to the FCC.
And their concerns are incredibly valid.
Yeah, they are arguing that the night sky is a natural human heritage. Plus, ground-based observatories are facing crippling operational challenges. I mean, when you have 100,000 highly reflective trucks zipping across the sky, it essentially blinds our telescopes.
Precisely. Harvard Smithsonian astrophysicist Jonathan McDowell summarized this perfectly. He tweeted, "We are building an electronic cage around ourselves."
Wow. An electronic cage. That is a visceral image.
It really is.
You look up, and instead of navigating by the stars, you are looking at the literal bars of a high-speed internet router.
Yeah, it changes our relationship with the sky completely.
And beyond just the view, what does this do to the market? Like, if SpaceX has 100,000 next-gen satellites up there, what happens to competitors like Amazon's Project Kuiper or OneWeb?
Honestly, by 2030, they could be entirely squeezed out.
Really? Entirely?
Yeah, because they are still in early deployment phases. If SpaceX executes this, they don't just win the market, they become the market. Which means, if you live in a country with highly restricted internet access, a single American company now controls a global network that bypasses your local government's infrastructure entirely.
That's a massive shift.
It is a fundamental geopolitical shift.
But, you know, putting 100,000 massive routers in space is really just the plumbing. The question that should be keeping every CEO awake right now is what kind of intelligence is going to be pumped through those pipes?
That's the real story.
Because Microsoft and OpenAI just made an announcement that completely changes the software layer of the global economy.
They did. And the context leading up to this July announcement is crucial. For weeks, business media was just flooded with rumors that Microsoft was preparing for a breakup.
Right. I remember seeing those headlines everywhere.
The speculation was that Microsoft wanted to pivot to their own internal AI models, like Phi and MAI-1, just to cut their reliance on OpenAI.
But this joint press conference completely squashed that narrative. They are locked in.
Tightly locked in.
Why didn't Microsoft walk away, though? I mean, they certainly have the capital to build their own systems.
It comes down to mutual dependence. Microsoft has sunk over $13 billion into OpenAI. A sudden exit would critically damage their Copilot brand, which is, you know, deeply integrated into Windows and Office, and relies entirely on GPT's underlying architecture.
Okay, that makes sense. So Microsoft needs GPT.
Right. And conversely, OpenAI desperately needs Microsoft's Azure cloud infrastructure. Training and running these models requires a frankly absurd amount of computational power and electricity.
They just don't have the hardware.
Exactly. OpenAI doesn't have the physical data centers to do that alone. So despite all the rumors of a rift, they are tethered together.
And what they just released from that tether is wild. Let's look at the tech specs for GPT 5.6. Sam Altman called it the smartest model we've ever designed for commercial and enterprise applications.
And they actually brought the tools to back up that claim.
They really did. First, you have this updated ChatGPT desktop app powered by Codex. Now, for anyone outside of software, Codex is an advanced coding engine. And this new app integrates directly into IDEs like Visual Studio Code.
Which is huge for developers.
Yeah, an IDE or integrated development environment is basically the word processor programmers use to write, edit, and test their code. Now, the AI isn't just offering suggestions in a separate chat window. It is sitting directly inside the programmer's workstation, writing and executing code alongside them.
And it goes far beyond just assisting seasoned programmers. They announced a new hosted site service that essentially eliminates the technical barrier to entry for digital commerce.
This one honestly blew my mind. You literally just type a prompt, like, build me an e-commerce website for handmade leather goods.
And it does everything.
Everything. The AI doesn't just give you the code for a website. It generates the front-end product pages. It automatically sets up the back-end databases to track your inventory. It configures the payment gateways through APIs like Stripe. And it hosts the entire thing on Azure servers automatically.
Yeah, you go from a single sentence to a fully operational global business in minutes.
It's crazy.
It is the ultimate democratization of software deployment. But the real paradigm shift is what happens inside existing corporate structures.
Right. Here's where it gets really interesting. They announced the ChatGPT work agent. I want you, the listener, to think about your own day-to-day work for a second.
This is where it hits home.
Imagine artificial intelligence graduating from being just a really fast search engine to being an autonomous project manager.
Yeah.
This is an intelligent colleague.
Literally doing the work for you.
Yeah, it seamlessly links into tools your company already uses. Jira, Asana, Slack, Notion. It doesn't just draft emails. It reads a project brief, independently schedules the kickoff meetings, breaks the project into tasks, assigns them to human employees, follows up on deadlines, and writes the analytical reports at the end.
All on its own.
Entirely without human intervention.
And that phrase, without human intervention, is going to define the next decade of economics. Imagine a mid-sized company with 50 employees. If they deploy this work agent to handle their administrative overhead, scheduling, and basic project management, they could slash their operational costs by up to 40%.
But that creates a brutal ultimatum for businesses, doesn't it? If your rival is operating with 40% lower administrative overhead because they fired their middle managers and deployed GPT 5.6, you simply cannot compete on price.
No, you don't.
You're forced to adopt the same technology just to survive.
Exactly. And the macro predictions for 2030 reflect that forced adoption. The global AI market value is predicted to hit $1.8 trillion.
Staggering.
But the human cost is heavy. 85 million jobs are expected to be replaced by this technology in the next 4 years. Now, the flip side of that prediction is that 97 million new jobs will be created.
Okay, I have to push back hard on that 97 million new jobs statistic. It sounds comforting, but what kind of jobs are we actually talking about here?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. Are these equivalent salaried careers with benefits? Or are we replacing a $90,000 a year project manager with a gig economy prompt engineer who gets paid by the task to feed data into the machine?
Yeah, that's a very real fear.
Because history shows us that technological disruption rarely replaces high-paying jobs with equally high-paying jobs immediately.
It's a valid challenge. The transition period is almost always messy and unequal. The new jobs might be fundamentally different, more focused on AI auditing, system management, and complex problem solving rather than, you know, administrative execution.
Right.
But regardless of the quality of those new jobs, the shift itself leads us to a massive immediate vulnerability.
Right. Because if you follow the causality here, the setup is actually terrifying. If you have an autonomous AI running your company's backend and it's communicating over a global mesh of 100,000 satellites, your attack surface just went from a locked door to a wide open stadium. Hackers don't have to trick a human into clicking a phishing link anymore. They just have to find a logical loophole in the AI's autonomous workflow. How on earth do you protect a system that complex, moving at that speed?
Well, the short answer is you can't do it manually anymore. The scale of the code and the speed of the operations, they just far exceed human capability.
Which means you have to fight AI with AI.
Exactly.
Let's look at how the biggest players are tackling this, starting with the Ethereum Foundation. They just launched an advanced deep learning system called Guardian AI.
Yeah, this is a huge development.
It is designed to scan thousands of lines of smart contract code, specifically languages like Solidity and Viper, in a matter of seconds.
And it isn't just doing a simple spell check for known errors either. It is actively hunting for highly complex, multi-stage vulnerabilities before the code ever goes live.
The primary example they give in the newsletter is a reentrancy attack. To break that down for anyone outside of blockchain security, a reentrancy attack is a logic flaw.
Right, it's about the sequence of operations.
Think of it like withdrawing $100 from a very poorly programmed ATM. You ask for the money, the ATM dispenses the $100, but before it actually updates your account balance to reflect the withdrawal, you hit the withdraw button again.
Because it hasn't registered the first one yet.
Exactly. Because the machine hasn't updated its internal ledger yet, it thinks you still have the funds and hands you another $100. A hacker essentially traps the code in a loop, draining the funds before the transaction finishes.
Which is devastating.
It really is. This exact vulnerability is what caused the infamous DAO attack in 2016, where $60 million was stolen. Guardian AI is trained to spot those logical loopholes instantly, alert the developers, and actually rewrite the code to secure it.
Now, apply that exact same philosophy to traditional operating systems. Microsoft is handing over its security pipeline to an AI system developed by their Microsoft Security Response Center, or MSRC.
Okay.
Charles Nagy, their VP of security, pointed out a sobering reality. Modern Windows OS contains over 50 million lines of code written across languages like C++, C#, and Rust.
Let me stop you there. 50 million lines. If the human security team tried to read that line by line to find a flaw, the software would be obsolete before they finished chapter one.
Exactly. Manually reviewing that much code for something like a buffer overflow is mathematically impossible.
And a buffer overflow, just to demystify that term, is basically when a program tries to stuff more data into a temporary memory space than it was designed to hold.
Right.
It's like trying to pour a gallon of water into a shot glass. The excess spills over into other parts of the system's memory, which crashes the program and often gives a hacker a backdoor to slip their own malicious code in.
That's a classic exploit.
Finding one of those overflows in 50 million lines of code is the ultimate needle in a haystack. But Microsoft's AI can do it. The stats from their 2025 rollout are incredible. The AI handled 1,247 reported vulnerabilities. It dropped the average patch time to just 36 days and caused a massive 67% reduction in zero-day attacks.
And a zero-day attack is the worst-case scenario in cybersecurity.
Absolutely the worst.
It's a vulnerability that hackers discover and exploit on the exact same day, meaning the software developers have literally 0 days to prepare a defense. The fact that an AI pipeline reduced those by 67% is monumental.
It's a game changer.
It is. And because it relies on machine learning, every time a new vulnerability is patched, the system memorizes the attack pattern. It is a continuous automated immune system that just doesn't sleep.
Okay, but I have to play devil's advocate here. I am looking at this utopian vision of AI security guards, and all I see is a machine speed arms race.
Okay, how so?
Well, hackers are already using automated AI tools to probe for weaknesses. Now, defenders like Ethereum and Microsoft are using AI tools to automatically write patches. Aren't we just building a battlefield where autonomous weapons fight each other in milliseconds, entirely out of human control? If something goes wrong, human hands are way too slow to pull the plug.
What's fascinating here is how the industry is already grappling with the psychological toll of that exact arms race.
They are aware of it then.
Oh, very aware. The solution they are pointing to represents a fundamental rewiring of the human career path. There's a brilliant quote from Ethereum researcher Peter Szilagyi. He says, "We're no longer in an era where security is solely human work. Hackers use AI tools, so we must do the same, but faster and smarter."
But where does the human fit into that?
Well, he follows that up by explaining how the human role has to evolve to prevent the loss of control you were talking about.
Wait, the human pivots from being a bug hunter to a bug validator.
Precisely. Because these early AI security systems have a major glaring weakness, a high false positive rate.
Ah, they get paranoid.
Very. The AI might flag 100 anomalies that look like malicious buffer overflows, but 99 of them are just weird, harmless quirks in how a specific developer wrote their code.
So it's crying wolf.
Exactly. If the AI automatically quarantined every false positive, it would accidentally shut down legitimate business operations constantly. So human security professionals aren't getting fired. Their daily reality is just changing.
They become managers.
Yes. They stop spending 80 hours a week manually searching the haystack. The AI hands them the needle. Their new job is to examine the needle, prove if it's actually dangerous, and manage the broader executive security strategy. They supervise the machine.
Which perfectly aligns with the Gartner predictions for 2030. They estimate that in just a few years, AI will find 80% of all security vulnerabilities and will dominate 75% of the entire cybersecurity market.
It's moving incredibly fast.
The human is no longer holding the flashlight in the dark. The human is the executive deciding if the monster the flashlight just illuminated is real or just a shadow.
It is the ultimate shift from manual granular labor to high-level executive oversight.
So what does this all mean? We started this deep dive looking at a single day of announcement from July 2026, but it is abundantly clear we aren't just talking about getting a faster internet connection or, you know, an app that builds an e-commerce site or an algorithm that spots a logic flaw. We are watching the complete automation and scaling of our physical skies and our digital workflows.
It's a totally new paradigm.
We are building an autonomous global infrastructure.
And the unifying theme of all these advancements is that technology is always a double-edged sword. Every leap forward demands a profound trade-off.
Always.
We gain incredible global connectivity to the most remote regions on Earth, but we sacrifice the natural, unfiltered heritage of the night sky to an electronic mesh.
Right.
We gain unprecedented workplace efficiency that can slash corporate overhead, but we displace 85 million workers, forcing a painful societal-level career shift from doing the work to supervising the AI that does the work. Active, transparent governance is required from every digital citizen right now. You just cannot afford to be passive when the foundational blueprint of the world is being redrawn.
Which brings me to a final lingering thought for you to take away. We've talked about the electronic cage in the sky, and we've talked about the risk of autonomous AI locking us out via false positives.
Yeah.
But follow the logic of this arms race to its absolute end. If AI is the only thing writing our corporate code through tools like the ChatGPT work agent, and AI is the only thing fast enough to secure that code through tools like Guardian AI, eventually, human beings are going to lose the ability to comprehend the very language our digital world is built on.
It's a scary thought.
The machines will optimize the code into a syntax that is so dense and complex, no human mind can read it. In a decade, we might not just find ourselves locked in an electronic cage. We might realize we've completely forgotten how to read the blueprint to find the door.